This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia. Track it down. Ross Tucker expected to join us in a moment or two. Oh, we got Ross. Great. Of course, everybody knows Ross Tucker. He's going to be on the Westwood One call of Commanders-Eagles this weekend, NFC title game. You can give him a follow at Ross Tucker NFL. He's got the Ross Tucker podcast. Ross, did you ever think you'd be coming on with us to talk about the Commanders in the NFC title game?
Not this year, I didn't. No. Definitely not, but I am very, very glad to be doing so. I mean, I saw you guys in November, and I thought it was a nice story, and I'm not surprised that they made the playoffs and all that, but no, I was not expecting this. I am absolutely thrilled for everybody listening right now because I know what it's been like over the last 20 years, and I know how long they've waited for this. It's awesome.
Ross, when you look at this team now and the stretch down the end and the two games in the playoffs, what is different about them now than you saw when they played against Philly up there on the Thursday night game?
Yeah, good question. I think they're better. I think they're better probably both sides of the ball. I think certainly, you know, on offense, I think De'Ami Brown has really given them something. You know, I think he's really given them something as that second receiver that they kind of were lacking earlier in the year, which is huge, right, to have that complement that they have in him. I think defensively I'm probably more impressed. I know they still give up a decent amount of points or yards or whatever, but I don't know, man. It just feels to me like they got a lot of guys playing better than they ever have. I mean, Jeremy Chinn and Frankie Louvu and Dorrance Armstrong and Fowler, and it's really a testament to Dan Quinn. They're still not a great defense, but they got a bunch of guys, I feel like, playing the best ball that they've ever played.
Agreed. On the line now is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ross, looking at this game, obviously Philly's really good, right? They've got a loaded roster, big, strong, fast. But Jalen Hurts, man, doesn't seem right. Now he doesn't seem right, and he seems injured. Obviously, the Eagles are going to want to run Saquon and run him a lot. But what do you make of the Philly pass game right now?
Tough to watch. Really tough to watch. And it's kind of crazy that there's a chance that they make it to the Super Bowl without their quarterback ever throwing for 200 yards. I mean, they might win this game without him throwing for 150 yards. You know? I mean, you know, the credit to him is that he does not turn the football over. And with the run game and with the defense, that's the most important thing. Now, as a former offensive lineman, some of the sacks he takes drive me absolutely nuts. And I can't believe I'm watching a quarterback take this many sacks after 3 seconds of having the ball. But you got to kind of take the good with the bad with him right now. You know, he's made some clutch throws when they've needed him to. He doesn't turn it over. He's been very effective at times as a runner. And that kind of offsets some of the things he's not seeing, some of the throws he's not making, and the sacks that he's taking. You know, with this offense and this defense, he's playing winning football. The question very early in the game will be how effective he can run after this knee injury. Mm-hmm. Because if he can't run very effectively, that really changes the dynamic.
Do you think so? I know they're the better team, they're a favorite, but if Washington were to win, what has to happen on Washington's side?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about this a lot, obviously. I guess I feel like if they played 10 times, that Philly would win 7 or 8, probably. But certainly, I would not be surprised if the Commanders, if this is one of the 2 or 3, where they win. I mean, not at all. I think if they can play offensively the way they did in Week 16 with spreading out the Eagles, you know, maybe Quinyon Mitchell isn't playing his best because he's coming off the shoulder injury, so maybe he's not as effective. Maybe they really attack the middle of the field with N'Kobe Dean out and Eckler and Ertz can have big days in the middle of the field sustaining offense, because I do not think the Eagles are going to give up explosive plays. They just don't do that. The Commanders have to go the length of the field, and it's going to have to be, I think, a lot of Ertz, a lot of Eckler, and a lot of Jaden Daniels' legs. That's the offensive part of it. Yeah, defensively, I think just not give up the 70-yarder to Saquon. You know, people do a pretty good job of keeping him in check, but it's like he gets these big ones, and it just feels like you can almost feel it coming, and it feels inevitable. If they can just make the Eagles have to go the length of the field and not let them break a long one, I think you got a good chance.
Agreed, man. And the problem against Washington twice now is he's broken long ones in both games. They've largely kind of slowed him down outside of the long ones, but he does that to everybody. So it's hard to think, you know, that Washington can crack some code. Talking with our friend Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Saquon's obviously Philly's biggest threat, and I think their offensive line is really, really excellent. Dude, you played in these games, Skins, Eagles, and all over the NFC East. How much, if any, impact does it make that this is a third game? And it's, you know, it's been an even split. Turnovers have pretty much dictated the story in both games.
Well, I think the second meeting is a lot more relevant than the first meeting. But I also think it's more relevant for multiple reasons, one of which is that, you know, I think the Eagles are not real happy about losing that game down there in D.C., you know, in Maryland. I think right. that they're, you know, they don't really think that they should have lost. I think they probably think they only lost because Hurts got hurt, but they also don't like that they gave up that many points. I mean, that's the only team that really put up points like that on them since the bye. So I don't know if any of those guys have said it publicly or not, but I think they're kind of glad they're playing the Commanders. I think they're kind of glad that they get to show that that game was a fluke, that that's not who they are, and that they can kind of make up for it. I think that's a very, very real thing in this game, is to kind of get back at the Commanders for that game from a few weeks ago.
I understand that mindset, but the Commanders had 5 turnovers, and they were still in that game. And that, to me, says if they don't have 5 turnovers, how many points can they score it in? So I believe as much as the Eagles can feel like they shouldn't have scored that many, the Commanders should be thinking we can put more points on them.
Totally agree. And then the question is, what about if the Eagles had Hurts and they were moving the ball more and yep. they were putting up touchdowns, you know, how that would have affected it? I got to tell you, it's one of the craziest things. I mean, we could go through it, but, like, there are not very many Commanders that would start for the Eagles.
It's crazy.
There just aren't. There just aren't. However, the quarterback would. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, the quarterback would. And I'm just telling you right now, if the Commanders win the game with, like, having two or three guys that could start for the Eagles, maybe four, I don't know, maybe four or five, but then I might quit the sport because the quarterback position is just too important then. I mean, it's just like, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable how important that position is, that a guy might be able to overcome that type of talent deficit and deficiency, which, by the way, would make me so excited for the Commanders in future years, because I got a lot of faith that Adam Peters is going to continue to stock the roster with guys the next couple years, and then the talent level could be closer. I mean, like, if you look at the Commanders' O-line compared to the Eagles' offensive line, mm-hmm. it's not even close. Not even close. I mean, it's super impressive. Super impressive. It's really a testament to Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn that they are in this position that they're in, because it feels like it's a year early, but I wouldn't be surprised if they win at all. I mean, with the confidence and the belief they have, and, you know, here I am talking about the Eagles wanting to get the Commanders back. The flip side of that is the Commanders have no fear. Commanders just beat these guys a month ago. They know they can do it. They proved they can do it. I'm sure they believe they're going to do it again, and they might.
It's crazy. Ross, I know you got a boogeyman. I appreciate you making time for us. It's going to be a fun weekend to watch this game.
I can't wait. I'm going to be on the sideline. So for everybody watching, I usually go on the away team sideline because there's less people and because that's where the TV cameras are facing. So anybody runs out of bounds or anything, look for me to try to get gratuitous TV time. You got to follow me at Ross Tucker NFL to see what I'm wearing. But I literally text my wife and my mom every game I'm on sideline, because that's the only fun for them, is to watch and see if they can see me on the sideline. So I try to get as much TV time as I can.
All right, we'll be looking for you there, brother. Man. We'll be watching for you. I'll see you up there.
All right, see you guys.
All right, bro. Take care.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast daily on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And B, I think he's really being fair. Like, we can be unbiased about this and recognize how good Philly is.
Yes.
But Washington just has something working.
Something working with
it's them. Not, and it's not it, it's Jaden driving it, but there's a lot more to it. You know what I mean?
I've been told a long time ago, when people start talking, and I think that this happens to a lot of people that work in our profession. We look at talent, and we always talk about how great a team is because of the talent. Talent only don't win games for you. If you got a guy that just have a little less talent, but he works a lot harder than that guy with more talent, he can beat that guy's ass. Okay? And what you have to understand, this is a well-coached team with a bunch of hungry people. And they're not resting on their laurels. So a lot of talented people, they rest on their laurels. And we'll see what happens.
I mean, I also think when we talk Sirianni versus DQ, to me it's pretty apparent. Like, if Sirianni's the one with the loaded roster and the other team, what did Ross say? And I don't necessarily agree with this, but he said three or four players on Washington could start for Philly. Shouldn't the coach with the loaded-ass roster be running through this thing?
Yeah.
That tells me a lot.
Yeah,
frankly, I think you've got an elite executive in Howie Roseman and putting teams together, but that doesn't necessarily. I just don't know with Sirianni. And I dude, don't like try to tell me his record, because his record's really good. But I don't know. It's pretty fascinating. I think, you know, Philly's really good. Not trying to discount that. Dude, we haven't had a moment to circle back to this. The people in Philly being mad at Josh Harris makes zero sense. And I frankly think
they're mad because he bought this football team
and they
made
good.
It better.
Yeah.
And let's be real. Philly, the Eagles run Philadelphia.
Right.
And they're like, well, damn, he coming here and bought this team to make them better and compete against us? That's what they're mad at.
I agree.
And you know what? Who gives a damn?
The NFL teams in every city run the city. Maybe, who would you say? Maybe the Lakers, maybe the Knicks or something. But in general, I think there was maybe the Yankees in New York and the Lakers in L.A., but those are pretty unique examples. Yeah, I think you're totally right. If you look at how he's run the Sixers, that's a dream owner. They spend money like
they
crazy.
Spend money.
They're always trying to hire new coaches. He talked about the stuff on the edges, the margins. They spend money on all that stuff. Hyperbaric chambers, whatever these players claim they need, they get. It's
not his fault that he got some players on the team that don't like to play. Say it like that.
Dude, are you ready? It sure seems like...
The Commanders getting ready for practice at 1:05 p.m. Linebacker Frankie Louvu. This team is cohesive.
It's crazy because I was like asking the guys, like, if we were to ask the question, like, would y'all think we would be here today or we might have a chance? A lot of guys say we have a chance, you know what I mean? But it just took time for us to build that brotherhood, build that bonding. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, and we got that. So, man, we got a special group, and I'm going to go with my boys.
Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Lamar Jackson are finalists for the Associated Press NFL Most Valuable Player Award. Quarterback Jaden Daniels, a finalist for AP Rookie of the Year. Dan Quinn, finalist for Coach of the Year. The winners will be announced February 6th. Capitals against the Kraken tonight, 9:45 on The Fan. Terps against Illinois, 8:30 on Team 980. Wizards versus Clippers, 10:15 on Bloomberg, 99.1. Huge upset for American Madison Keys, taking down number 2 seed Iga Świątek in 3 sets at the Australian Open. She'll face Aryna Sabalenka in the women's final. I'm Byron Kerr on The Fan.
What a good track that is. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You missed any of our interview with Ross Tucker? Make sure you get on the Odyssey app, hit rewind, and figure that out. We got a lot going on this week. We got Dan Quinn addressing the media now only, what, 3 days in advance of the NFC title game.
Let's get it.
Ready to roll.
All right. I've been asked early and often as the team got together, what's your identity? And that took some time to answer, as it should. But while we have found our identity, what I hit with the team is that we still haven't found our ceiling. And that fires me up to say that at this time of year. And that's really what we chase about, what we can do to get better and find our space to go for it again this weekend. And we've consistently raised the floor, but we haven't found that ceiling that we're going for. And that's kind of what the whole weeks are about, you know, digging into the skills, digging into things to work for. And that's no different this week, you know, as we're going right back outside to practice. You guys bundle up and be ready to roll. But glad to open up with you guys and get rocking again today. Yes.
Coach, you told me earlier in the week that you took B-Rob aside last week to have a little film session. I talked to him about that, and he said it was kind of eye-opening as far as reminding me of who I am. Have you always done that? Is it something that you did your second go-around here? And basically, what's the genesis of that?
Yeah, I think for the player, I want them to know how much we care and how much belief we have in them. Sometimes if they realize how much belief we have in them, I think they'd be overwhelmed. And it was a matter of just showing and giving that positive example, like, this is exactly who you are. And so wanted to reinforce that and make sure that was there. So nothing different from here. I've done that with other players this season as well. And I just felt like he was the one last week that I wanted to make sure I connected with.
Dan, you talk about identity, and toughness has obviously been a part of that you've been looking for all year. We don't generally view wide receiver as that kind of category, but we see that play last week where Diami and Olamide block for Terry and then he's able to go through. And the decision ultimately to sort of go for that type of player at receiver, how much of an example of that is like a tone setter for you guys that maybe, you know, we don't really think about?
It's a big deal. And we do talk about that as the competing part and the finishing part. And it's ironic, as we got into this postseason beginning, we used to have our individual goals by player. This is what I want to work on over the next month or 6 weeks. And so as we got into the postseason, we did it as a position group. And so one for them was the, you know, perimeter blocking and finishing on the screens. And so it's funny how you get what you emphasize, but they were the ones that came up with that. And I thought very good example of a number of things on that particular play. The blocking, Terry going like what we call running through the smoke, but also having an awareness for the ball through that, knowing that they were going to come punch it. That's such a big emphasis, Ben, as you know, of who we are and what we do. And so we make a big deal about the ball. And on this day, every week, Tavita is the first one to go, and we talk about ball security with the entire team. And Jason Simmons also presents to the team on this day about takeaways and creating those moments. And so teaching that part of the fundamentals is a big deal, but it starts with the competing and the finishing.
What have you seen out of John Allen since he's come back, and considering him playing the first two Eagles games, how do you think he can impact this game?
Yeah, one, it's just kind of shows like the commitment he did to come back. And when you have that injury, just, you know, in my head, I was like, damn. And I just thinking he's out for the season. And then as it kind of the calendar turned, okay, there's a space going to the doctor, you could outline it. And like anything, I thought the first couple games, him getting back under it to go, and his last game, I thought, was the most impactful. And so that doesn't surprise me, you know, as we're going for him, you know, to be on the rise as well. So it's definitely gave us, you know, a shot in the arm that we needed.
Dan, I know that you and everybody here desperately wants to win Sunday, but I just wonder how you kind of reflect on what this season has been for you in terms of getting another opportunity to show what you've learned over the course of the last few years and seeing it come to fruition so quickly.
Those are good post-game hugs, Adam and I, you know, as we're going through it. But as I get into the week, I'm not there yet, Dave. And there's just so much at hand for this week. And that's, you know, what I wanted our team to feel like. And I felt like I need to stay in that space as well. This is the keys to winning in this game. And so I hit that with the guys on Wednesday and again today. And I'll do it, you know, over the next 2 days, just so we're leveling up as we're going. And there's a prove it side to us all. And, you know, I definitely have part of that, just like the players do. But as far as reflecting back, you know, I'm not there yet.
Hi, Coach. This defense really stood up last week overall. But when you look at the defensive line, what did you see from them? Because they were really aggressive getting at it in going into this game against the Eagles' offensive line.
Yeah, you know what I thought, Donna, that the thing that started the shift of the momentum, I two things. One, they decided to take the ball, you know, from the kick. They won the toss. And so getting a stop early, I thought that was a good way to say, you know, right back to where we're going to go. But I thought Dorrance Armstrong of getting the sack on the early possession and Luvu on the fumble recovery of that play, that kind of unlocked some things. This is how it has to go down today, you know, and being about the ball. But I thought Dorrance's play was the one that maybe, you know, was the igniter of that. And that's one that we needed for sure into that spot. But that was the play that got it going. And I thought then Quan's interception and the return, that was the one. Now the fire caught and now we could go. But those were the plays that I thought really set it off. But they've improved a lot. And so we still got a bunch to improve upon. But the ball was a big factor for us in the last two games. And so we make a big deal of that. And it's not just the defense. It's offense and the return guys have taken care of the ball. So that to us is something that we talk about a lot.
Jaden mentioned that playing basketball as a kid helped him with his court vision as a quarterback. I'm wondering if there are plays this season that his vision, his ability to like see things has really shown up to you.
Yeah, we don't have enough time probably. Like I wrestled and threw the shot puts. I don't have a lot of good examples of court vision. There's so many, man. Like he has a knack, which is unusual. And maybe there was a play even this last game where I felt Branch was chasing him and he kind of kicked through. And I think that's also vision where somebody's coming to track you from behind and you can kick through the tackle to remain a passer. And his eyes remain downfield, but there he felt the player behind him. For sure, like looking off people to go, that's a big piece of it. But yeah, there's a lot of them. I can't think of one that stands out, but there is a lot.
What makes Saquon so hard to stop, especially with this offense?
Yeah. He's hard to stop, and then especially with this offense. That's a good point. Like two good questions, and they're both accurate. There's a start and stop factor, John. I mean, that's for sure legitimate. You may have this gap, and he can go, and if it's plugged, he'll stop, test the next one, boom, test the next one. And so that ability to work back and cut and then accelerate again, you've seen him outrun safeties who are coming from an angle, but as he gets two to the next level, you know, he can break the guys off just by the speed to get outside. He's also got rare, like, change of direction, and so whether it's a spin or a jump cut, those would be the two things to be. But I think the vision behind the line where it's that B gap's filled, I'm coming back to the A, or I saw the safety over here, I'm working them back. So I think there's a combination of vision and then the ability to start and stop, like, super quickly. He has this quickness of a smaller back and the size of a big back, if that makes sense to say. Like, that's unusual combination, but it's not the size alone of this guy so powerful. It's both.
When did you know Jaden was legit? Is there a moment, a game?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, which one would be that one to say, okay, that's the one. There were probably, like, glimpses, you know, that equaled up to that. I would say, the, you know, in our regular season, the glimpse at the New York Giants in his first 2 minute to go. It was a giant glimpse against Chicago. That was more of like an actual big glimpse. And then as it went, I'm trying to think of one to go. Certainly, like, by the end when we got to Atlanta, there was, you know, like, talking to Raheem afterwards, like, this guy's amazing. And I'm like, yeah. And there's plays that happen that he's able to, we didn't call that play coming in, but the next play took place. He got outside the pocket, he extended plays. So I knew early on the poise was really good. And then as it got into these moments where it became great, that's a big deal. I thought our team over the last maybe 6 weeks, we've gotten better on the field, but we've also gotten better in between our ears. Like, we're more resilient, we have more belief, we're mentally tougher than we've ever been. And so all of that factors in. Like, yes, our improvement, as I was talking about, is good, but it's not just the on-the-field improvement, Nikki, that I'm talking about. It's also a mindset that I will go the distance, I will finish it longer. And so Jaden being right in the middle of that has definitely had an impact on that, because knowing that you're never really out of the fight, that's a big deal. And so why did we have those close games? Maybe that stretch, I thought, build some resolve, not just on the field, but mindset, attitude, connection, belief, and he's definitely a big part of that.
Dan, two things on Cliff. What intrigued you about him in the hiring process? Because it's such a big deal about who you're going to put with the rookie quarterback.
And I've heard
two,
that.
He's shown a propensity to take input from players and use it on the sidelines and implement it. How has that worked?
Yeah, so going into it, there was a certain, you know, play style that as a head coach that you want to have. And so Cliff competing against him provided some of the most difficult challenges. And that was similar to, you know, into Atlanta to hire Kyle. And this is challenging. This is aggressive. And that's really who I am. So I wanted to make sure that everything would match that. And so going against Cliff, I just felt like, man, this is a really tough group to prepare for and play against. And so as we kept, you know, in touch through that process, knowing that we would have very likely a quarterback selected and his experience with that, I thought, what a perfect fit. What I'd found out was what the competitor is, you know, what a great teammate he is. And so he's been like an absolute blast to work with. Like, he is an absolute competitor, man. Like, he, you know, comes across quiet and that, like, he is a real competitor and like a wolf in sheep's clothing kind of competitor. And I really appreciated that about him, but he's been excellent for us.
Similar to that, what were some of the reasons you wanted to bring, excuse me, Brian Johnson here? Was it some of that quarterback background, knowing that you'd be in this spot, and like those thoughts about why you brought him? How's that played out?
Yeah, so I got to know Brian a little bit from Florida and then followed him, you know, going to Philadelphia. And so he was somebody, maybe a few years back, I had my eye on when he was the quarterback coach there before he was named the OC, thinking this is a coach that you want to, you know, stay connected to. I saw what he's done. And so putting the whole group together, we know we wanted some heavy hitters. And we wanted to surround the offense, the quarterback, with as many of those heavy hitters as we could. And I think you know, Adam had that vision. I explained that obviously to him, but him up to Josh as well. And so that was like an important part of like, there's a real process that we're going to go through to make sure we're going to support the hell out of this player that's not even here yet. Interior of the offensive line and tight end and others and a system for offense and support. And so to be able to deliver on that is a good thing. And anytime you do what you say you're going to do, that's a big deal. And Cliff has done that, and Brian has done that, and so Tavita has done that. You know, like David Blau, those ones, they have all, this is what we have to get done, and they like absolutely were down for that challenge.
Take three more.
Understanding you signed a handful of veterans during the offseason to help provide leadership among other things, but among the guys you quote-unquote inherited in the locker room, who do you credit for helping instill culture in the place you want it to be now?
You know, I didn't think of like new guys that were here. I wasn't going to really go there. I didn't think that was the way to look at it. Like, they're all our guys now. And so they're all on the same footing. And I didn't want to say, this is how the team did it and how would you think? And so I just knew, hey, who are the leaders we can help develop? And people like Terry, you know, have been such an important figure of that. I knew he was a great professional, but now I've seen the leader, you know, begin to emerge. And now that to me is so much different. And so there's a number of guys, but I didn't ever want to go in, whether it was staff or players, these guys were here or not, like, no, man, if you like, this is us together.
Dan, you've gotten contributions 1 through 50.
That is Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. And one thing I can say, having listened to a lot of coaches and a lot of podium sessions, that dude is sincere. And when he got here, everybody that, you know, they went through their process, and everybody that stayed here, they weren't trying to divide people like, oh, you were with them, you're with us. It was, we're all here now, we're all pulling this rope to go the same way.
There you go.
And so far, so good. Big opportunity Sunday. Nobody go anywhere. We're going to talk to Matthew Berry at 1 o'clock.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. There's nothing like the NFL playoffs. It's one big game after another. And you know what? Big games deserve bigger payouts. That's why FanDuel is giving all customers a same game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, you'll score a bigger payout if your same game parlay hits. Listen, you can do a same game parlay like an anytime touchdown. Let's go with Jaden Daniels. How about Austin Eckler over yards on receiving? And I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin also with an anytime touchdown. So don't just watch from the sidelines. Visit FanDuel.com/Brian to get in on the action. That's FanDuel.com/Brian to get a same game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of WJFK. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You have to be 18 years old and present in D.C. Opt-in required. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
You ever dance to this song at the club, B?
Nah.
Nah, why not? Jeff, you ever play this at the club? But the club gets crunk.
They would look at me and say, what is this?
Listen, there are times I give you a hard time about not playing classics at the club. That is not one of them. So we're clear. I'm not expecting you to play that at the club. We've heard from DQ. We've heard from Joe Witt. Those are two dudes with significant resolve. Mm-hmm. They are, over the years out here, there's been like a running bit kind of in the media of, if you had to pick one player to have on your side for a fist fight, who would it be?
Yeah.
And for a long time, it was kind of Niles Paul and Trent Williams. I'm not even getting into the locker room who I would want on my side in a fist fight. Mm-hmm. I kind of think DQ and Joe Witt would be a pretty nasty team, dude. Don't they just strike you as...
Yeah, they're a little... They are...
Joe serious. Witt said, he's like, man, you got to be crazy to be here, and I'm crazy. Like, yeah. His level of preparation and intensity is pretty damn impressive and has been all year, but
he's intense, man.
DQ said, he's like, I mean, they're a lot better today than they were September 10th.
Totally.
And improvement like that over the course of the year speaks to coaching and development. everything speaks to players, but that is real coaching and development.
Yeah. Listen, man, those guys come in, and a lot of times players view coaches. Okay, coaches come in. A lot of coaches talk that talk, but they don't back it up. They don't put the work in like they expect the players to do. But when they see they have coaches that really do it like that, they damn sure are going to follow that. And I think Joe and DQ, even Cliff, they've walked what they preached, and that their players follow that quickly. That's how you get your team to get where you want them to go rather quickly.
There's so much to like with this organism. Like the Philly, do you sense any BS insecurity in the level of Philly bravado? I do.
They are naturally like that, but yes, I totally do.
Like, oh man, these guys can't play with us. Meanwhile, they're secretly like checking the Jalen Hurts injury report. What I mean? Like, I
notice they're not really discussing that a lot. They're avoiding that conversation.
They're definitely avoiding that he's averaging 130 pass yards per game in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's run through. This is yesterday's injury report. Practice set to begin here in about 10 minutes, and we'll get a little bit of an updated look. Kind of weird to me they don't just put Cosme on IR. Cosme didn't practice yesterday. No duh. Ertz got a rest day. Farrell got a rest day. Fowler got a rest day. Farrell had one of my favorite comments yesterday in the locker room. We were talking with him, and I said, you know, because Farrell's been in big moments. Like, he's played in big playoff games. He understands kind of what all is included. Mm-hmm. And I asked him yesterday, I was like, you know, is this one a little different because it is an NFC East game, because it's the third time you're seeing this team? Like, Farrell was in the Super Bowl last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And his reply was so good. He's like, hell yeah, there's blood in this. And I get it. Like, when you play a team that often, it is going to feel a little different. The first one of these that I care, not to say I care about, but I think could be more than just rest. Daron Payne on the injury report, knee and finger DNP on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Level of concern?
None.
He's going to play.
Yeah.
The finger thing he played through after the Tampa game. Bobby Wagner got the rest day with that ankle.
Natural.
He's
going to probably get a rest day anyway.
It's hurt. His ankle is hurt. Yeah. He's just playing through it.
Yeah, but Bobby is a veteran who understands how to get the way he needs to be.
Alameda Zacchaeus hip limited.
He'll play.
He'll play versus it could be a factor is different. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll play.
The whole 100%. Thing about it, once a guy steps on the football field, he's ready to go. It's not if they put him on the field, they're not worried about him not being able to play up to a level.
We got a bunch more guys on the list here. Bates, Biadasz, Coleman, Luvu, McNichol, Sennett, all full participants. These guys are all beat to hell. Like, they're going to be on the injury list.
Yep.
Now I'm going to the Eagles side of things. Dallas Goedert and Cam Jurgens were DNPs. And not rest. Goddard was an ankle. Jurgens was his back for a center.
Yep. I looked at a lot of stuff. I was following some Eagles stuff yesterday, and a lot of the Eagles talk was, oh, this is some, they're playing a little gamesmanship. And I'm like, you know what? I can see it happening. I've seen coaches do it a lot, like act like somebody's banged up when they're not. Because if you say somebody's hurt, the league ain't going to say nothing about it. They don't check to see if he wasn't hurt.
Right.
Everybody's hurt.
It's also a walkthrough. Like, Philly had a walkthrough, so it's easy to say it's a DMP for your back.
Yeah.
Because you didn't just walk around. The rest of their list, rest day for A.J. Brown, Britton Covey, who's been on IR, they opened his window, wide receiver. Hurts with the knee was limited. Lane Johnson, rest day. Quinyon Mitchell with the shoulder. Josh Sweat got a rest day. Kenny Pickett, full participant.
Pickett.
Byron Young.
What is wrong with him?
Remember, his ribs got blasted.
Pickett?
Yeah. Because remember, they had the third stringer starting late in the year. What was my man's name? I will tell you his name. Why don't you tell me the name of the movie you'd like to see? You didn't have McKee Fever, B? Mm-mm. Tanner McKee started, went 1-0, played in two games, 30 of 45, four touchdowns. No picks for Tanner McKee. When we come back, Matthew Berry, NBC Sports.
Worry about him.